This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Kia ora and welcome to the Joy Jam. You are listening to Marie Gibson. I'm the host of this podcast and it is number 235. So, I've just had the intense pleasure of being having a holiday in Rarotonga. Oh my goodness, what a beautiful, beautiful place. It was like my version of paradise, and not because the waters were pristine, because they were, not because just it was the flashiest, fanciest place on earth, because it wasn't. And that really stuck with me. So bear with me as I unpack my holiday, my idea of success, my idea of family, my idea of what a wonderful holiday can be. And so much learning. I've only been back for 24 hours and I was really sleep deprived when I came back in. So I'm feeling kind of foggy brained. My body feels like lead. And, there's always challenges in every holiday. And I guess the only challenge I really found was that last night coming back, having to stay awake, having to look after the kids, and not because that's a burden, but because it was the middle of the night and they would much rather be sleeping rather than hanging out in an airport, So that last part was a little bit challenging. Being back in New Zealand, the reality of the cold slapped me like a bloody cold fish in the face. And I'm in Rarotonga. It was beautiful weather, a little bit hot at times for this menopausal old mole, I've got to admit, but for the most part it was just beautiful. And one of the things that made it beautiful for me was, I have arthritis, I'm riddled with it, from my neck right down to my toes and everywhere in between, and it's growing like a bloody mold. In that hot climate, I don't think it was just the heat. There was something else. But combined in that heat, that humidity, that air, my arthritis, the pain had dwindled. I still have injuries in my body that no climate in the world is going to take care of. So I can't say that my pain level was at a number one, but wow, having a reprieve from the pain that is my flary old battle scar body and its arthritis nodes joining up everywhere, I really appreciated that break. And that feeling of my body almost being at peace. It's been a long, long time since I felt that. So I came back feeling so fucking grateful, just to be able to feel somewhat pain-free while I was there. Oh, something just happened there. I'm not quite sure what. I tried to pause it and try and fix it out. But it didn't work, and it just kept recording. So you've got this little moment of silence in here, in this podcast. But anyway, and now I've kind of even forgotten what I was talking about. But anyway, let's just get back to my beautiful holiday. You know, from the moment we arrived, like it was almost nighttime when we got there. I think it was teetering on dark. And we were met by Chris, my wife's best friend, who lives in Rarotonga. And she presented us all with the most beautiful floral lays and the headpieces. And they were made from fresh flowers. She had made them all herself. It must have taken an incredible amount of time. So the first thing that struck me when I got there was the smell, the scent of these flowers. Now, I love smell. I absolutely adore beautiful, beautiful smells. I don't often wear floral perfumes, but I love the smell of beautiful flowers. And these frangipanis and jasmine and, I don't know what else was in there. But they all smelt divine. And I'm wearing this fairy crown. I know it's not called a fairy crown, but I felt like I was wearing a fairy crown of the most exquisite floral creation. And that smell now becomes part of the memory. So, you know, I like to create memories which I call golden eggs. And these golden eggs I can pull out any time when I'm feeling sad, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, when I'm feeling scared, when I'm feeling in real pain. I can close my eyes and I can go to one of these golden egg moments and it takes me back into a happier time and it just helps shift my mindset. And I feel like that's what this holiday did for me. It was a reset. And I know that that is a very privileged thing to say because not everyone gets to travel overseas in order to have a fucking reset, right? So I understand the absolute privilege that this is, that I got to even go there. But I did, and I love it. And I'm not going to feel guilty for being privileged enough to go there. I'm just, because then it's a waste of a trip. It's a waste of all the beautiful learnings that I did have. I'm not going to feel shame. And, so back to the beautiful scent. Beautiful scent, beautiful scent, beautiful people. Oh, I think it is the people that have stuck with me the most with the trip. You know, for a start, we were going over there with our family and our chosen family, and that's an incredible thing. You know, there were 11 of us in total. And, you know, I got to go there with my whānau. Not all of my whānau, my kids and their kids weren't there. But these are Chris's kids, which make them my kids, their best friends. So, and their best friends, so which makes them our chosen family. You know, what a beautiful experience it was to celebrate Chris's 60th birthday and to celebrate Danny's 30th birthday. And what a beautiful way to do it. It was so cool seeing the island through the kids' eyes as well, with in all their awe and wonder. And I'm a bit of a kid at heart, so it wasn't hard for me to look at the world through their eyes for the week. And I loved being able to share that with them. I thought it was a beautiful balance of time that wasn't completely stressed and too fast and going from one activity to the next to the next. We certainly did something every day, but we didn't have to, really chase the clock every single moment of the day as we're running from one thing to the other. And if we didn't feel like doing much, then we didn't. We had a gentler day. You know, we went for a swim, and that might have been the biggest thing until we went out for dinner that night, perhaps. We got told and recommended by so many people who had been to Rarotonga about the fire show at Vaiana's, and it tells the story of the inhabitants of the Cook Islands, and you have this big buffet, and it's a real kind of cultural night. And I absolutely loved that. It was a beautiful way of experiencing culture. It wasn't too commercial. It still felt authentic and true. It was in a beautiful setting, and it was all of those things. And, you know, and I'm down the end of one table right by the water overlooking this beautiful lagoon. There was a waterfall, there were lights, there was this moat, and they would paddle round in these, like, large paddle type, oh, I guess, a giant paddleboard, and told the story. And it was cool seeing our little mai mokos look at that and experience that. And it had beautiful lights. The food was beautiful. You know, it was all just, I know I just keep saying that word, it was all just beautiful, but it really, really was. We went to the beach that day, and I've put my feet in those tanks, you know, where fish come and feed off your feet skin. But I haven't done any of those, really go swimming with the fishes. I tried snorkeling in Fiji, and it really just wasn't for me. I can't put my face in the water, which seems to be a bit problematic when it comes to snorkeling. But I went to this beach. It was Muri Beach, and beautiful white sand, beautiful calm water. And I'm sitting there, very, very shallow. What's more, it was kind of a lagoon, a motu, I think it was. And sitting in this water, and these little tiny translucent fish, and not so tiny, you know, kind of as long as your fingers, I guess, they would just swim in little schools. Like, you'd have to stay still, but then you were just sitting there swimming with them. You were just sitting there as they swam through my legs, you know, and carried on. That was incredible. I had plenty of time to contemplate and reflect while I was there. And it was through moments like that. It was through talking to the people. It was through running my hands through the sand and feeling the tip of a fish's mouth, like, peck up against my skin as it moved past, this tickly sensation. And what an incredible memory that can become. The next night, or I think the next day, at one point we went shopping and found some little treasures. That was really cool. I found some pearls. I always think of going, you know, thinking of the black pearls in Rarotonga and in Tahiti. I haven't been to Tahiti, but my wife's got a lot of black pearls that she inherited from her mum. not from her mum, from her auntie, these Tahitian black pearls. But I knew Rarotonga was kind of famous for farming their own pearls as well. While this shop was in Rarotonga, I think that by the looks of the price that I paid for the string of pearls, they weren't Rarotongan pearls. But that's okay. I bought them when I was in Rarotonga. But deep down, I kind of was hoping that I was going to have enough money by the end of it to afford myself just one, and one imperfect. It didn't have to be perfect and round and, you know, cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Luckily for me, the imperfection is what makes it beautiful to me, which is kind of handy because they're the cheapest pearls that you can get. And I just wanted one. I wanted one single, you know, like a black cord with one pearl coming off it. But I'll get to that. I'll get to that particular pearl in my story later on. Okay, we're back to doing a little commercial shopping. Just spending time with Abby and Paris and Danny, it was so cool just wandering around town. And that night, my wife and I, we went to a restaurant called Antipodes, and it is known for its sunset. And it didn't disappoint. Oh my goodness. Oh no, that might have been Thursday night. Okay, I'm backtracking. I think Wednesday night we went to the fire show that I told you about. On the Tuesday night, where it had the big buffet and the lagoon and the waterfall, that wasn't Vaiana's. That was actually Te Varanui, named after the famous Rarotongan princess, Varanui. And it was on the Wednesday night we went to this place, Vaiana's. Now, Vaiana's is on the beach, literally in the sand, and it's almost like a pop-up on the beach. And they have fire dancers, so a fire dancer show, and you order like fish and chips or burgers or, you know, what it is on their menu. Everywhere I went, they had seafood, great big tuna steaks and their raw fish dish, which I love raw fish done in coconut cream or lemon juice, and then coconut cream with spring onions or onion, and oh, yum, love it. Their version is ikamata, and oh, didn't disappoint. But anyway, we went to the show Vaiana's, and we knew that it was going to be fire dancers. And again, just going down into the water while we're waiting for our dinner, right, and waiting for the show to start, taking photos of the kids splashing around. And, like, I didn't go for a swim there because I was dressed, but just being able to wade through the water, look at fish around my feet once again. It was just cool. The water was warm, not as warm as I was hoping, but nevertheless, it was warm. And the fire show was children who were doing. Now, you all know that I'm a magpie. Anything that sparkles the lights up, I love bright lights, and, you know, sparkly lights, twinkly lights, fire lights, and that's why I love fire dancing. And it was children that were part of a fire dancers club. Now, the youngest of them was 9 years old, and he's going over to Hawaii to perform and to compete. And so we all, you know, chipped in and gave him a a pretty decent koha to send him on his way, because he just blew my mind. Now, you know, that is not to take anything away from Te Whanganui, because they absolutely loved it. And they had a little bit of fire dancing too, which was incredible. These adults were so friggin' fast. Watching children do it, aged from 9 to 15, they had a 9-year-old, a 12-year-old, 13, 14, and 15. Wow. Wow. It blew my mind, and it gave me such joy, so much joy to be sitting there with my family watching it in this moment, in this time. And again, it goes into that golden egg moment, that golden egg opportunity. The kid's grandfather came along, and seeing him, you know, light up with joy as he played with his grandchildren, who are my grandchildren, was a really special moment. And I feel like we were able to bond over that. And we had great conversations. So, you know, even though it's my wife's ex, you know, the father of her children through donor and beyond, it was so cool to accept him now as family, being able to reshift my mindset into gratitude and love of the whānau that we've built, the whānau that we've chosen and who our loved ones have chosen, which makes them all whānau now. For those of you listening who don't know what whānau is, it is family. And once again, I'm reminded of the lesson that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be one thing or the other. It can be a million ways in between, every area, shade of grey. Our family doesn't have to be perfect in order to be beautiful. And through the, you know, there was such a lack of commercialism on the island. Like, there were really flash resorts. But across the road from those flash resorts were derelict buildings that had been left deserted or were really run down, because unless you're a Cook Islander, you can't own land in Rarotonga. So if it's family land, but those families have long since moved on, you can't just up and, you know, sell the land to a resort, you know, flash resort, so that they can make the whole area skyrocket in value. So this juxtaposition between really flash resort and very, very humble dwellings with burial plots, they're allowed to, because it's family land, they're allowed to bury their dead on family land. So in all of these front yards are burial plots, great big concrete slab burial plots. And that was, to start with, I was not shocked, but, you know, it took me back. And because here we have cemeteries or our urupas, which are still family plots in the country or, you know, in one area. But here, they're in everybody's backyard. And that lack of commercialism really stuck with me. Again, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Once again, I came back to the learning that it is the people that make our memories special. And it is the people in my life that fill me with joy, that make my life a beautiful one. And it was that kind of learning that I experienced on the island. On Thursday night, my wife and I went, we wanted a date night. and she decided to leave it to me to decide where we were going. So I had put out a Facebook post. You know, this is where the beauty of AI comes in, the beauty of Facebook, the beauty of social media. I had put a post up that I was in Rarotonga, and so many of my friends commented, all the people that had been there, and they shared memories or recommendations. And someone recommended this restaurant, Antipodes. It was Spanish inspired or Greek inspired. I think maybe Spanish. And it overlooked, it was way up on a hill rather than on the beach. But the view of the sunset gave me a whole different perspective. So everywhere I went on the island, it gave me the opportunity to see a different perspective. And this one, it was all about the sunset view and celebrating a beautiful, exquisite meal with my wife, being able to talk to her and celebrate her and I. We've got a lot to talk about in our life. You know, we live separately. We often don't get that opportunity to connect or to talk or to try and work on our relationship. So this meal, in its beauty, in its exquisiteness, did just that. And I'm not saying that you have to go somewhere and experience the most expensive thing on the menu in order to have a good time. But there was something about prioritizing ourselves and going somewhere exquisite that, yes, was pricey, but we prioritized that date night as special, as a sacred thing that we wanted to do. And it didn't disappoint. I mean, we only ate a small fraction of this meal. You know, the portion sizes there are huge. So, but they wrapped it all up for us at the end, you know, and it didn't mean we didn't enjoy our food. We do. We've had gastric bypass surgery, both of us, so we can only eat a little bit of it. But we wrapped it all up to take it home for the kids to taste test. But again, a lot of seafood. Once again, it was divine. I got just seafood overload while I was there. Not overload, because I love it. I love it, I love it, I love it. And I got to eat marlin. That was their local fish, or their yellowfin tuna, in lots of different ways. And that was really cool. I had their, in a crepe one day, the marlin mornay in a crepe. And, oh, honestly, I had it on the second day we were there, and then for the rest of the week, I just thought about it and thought about it and thought about it until on the Saturday when we went to the great big market that they have there. And I finally got to have it again, and it didn't disappoint. It was just as good the second time as it was the first time. But anyway, back to this beautiful date night. You know, I loved that Chris and I did that. I loved that when we went out on the boat with the family, we were able to see turtles in the water, that we got to experience all of these memories together. Now, I could choose right now to be focused on how lead my body feels, how the cold shock of New Zealand is making my body hurt and ache and pain, and strip myself from the joyous, joyous memories that was the last week in Rarotonga. And I'm not going to do it, because I created these golden egg moments. A friend of mine recently reminded me last night of something that I had said to her, and it was my definition of success. So I'm going to end with my definition of success. To me, it is being able to end each day feeling happy about the choices I made and having the grace and self-compassion to forgive myself when I haven't. And through experiencing the beauty that is Rarotonga, but not this perfection, not this idea of perfectionism, these cheeky, charming people that weren't rich, they didn't have flash everything, but they were so gracious and wonderful. I got a tattoo, a Polynesian-inspired tattoo while I was there, and that was fantastic. And I've realised that I have had a reset, and I'm taking away from it that he tangata, he tangata, he tangata. It's people, it's people, it's people that make my life the wonderful, wonderful life that it is. Ka kite.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.